Shema Yisrael, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad. Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God, Jehovah is one. This verse of Holy Scripture in the Bible is the great Shema. It is found in the Jewish Holy Scriptures in the fifth book of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and verse 4. The first commandment of the Ten Commandments is, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Almighty God hates idolatry, whether it be in the form of worshipping an idol made by the hands of man, or it be material possessions, another human being, money, or anything in this world that is placed before the worship of the God of the Bible. When I quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, I gave the English for the Hebrew word for Almighty God, Jehovah. I know that many of my Jewish people will not pronounce this name of God because it is so holy, but rather they say Lord. However, since God has used this name for himself hundreds of times throughout the Bible in the Old Testament, I reverently use it here. One can say Lord very casually, for it is a word that is used in some countries for the status or position of a man. But no one is ever called Jehovah except the Almighty God of the universe in Holy Scriptures, the Bible. No place in the Jewish Bible or in any Bible are we admonished not to use this great name for God. Jehovah has warned us not to worship anyone or anything except him, and he is worthy of our love, commitment, and faithfulness. Whom do you worship today? Is your economic position in life, your family, friends, home, automobile, boat, education, possessions, or anything else placed before your relationship to God? Do you know God personally? You can know God and the peace and joy that come only from him through the pages of the Bible. The Holy Scripture says in the Bible book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verse 13, Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Seek to know God and his love, peace, and guidance in the Bible. You will never regret it. God will never fail you. People will. God will take away the fear of death. He will take away the loneliness if you will honestly seek to know him. God will give you a life worth living and the assurance that when life ends here on earth, it will be the beginning of an eternity in heaven where there will be joy and peace and no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, and no more death, as God has promised to us in the Bible book of Revelation, chapter 21, and verses 3 and 4. At first glance, it appears that Deuteronomy 6:4 is a simple verse that states there is one God. However, there is far greater truth in this verse that opens to us the greatness of God Almighty, Jehovah, and how he reveals himself to us. The verse says, Shema Yisrael, Jehovah Eloheinu, Jehovah Echad. In the English, Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God, Jehovah One. The word Eloheinu is plural, and the word Echad can mean more than one. The word in Hebrew for absolute one is Yachid, but that word is not used here. Let us look into the use of the plural word for God and the plural meaning of Echad. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, we read one of the most familiar verses in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. When the beginning was, we do not know, only God knows. But the Hebrew word for God here is Elohim. In Hebrew, the singular for God is El, E-L, used about 225 times in the Holy Scriptures or the Old Testament, or Elah, E-L-A-H, used about 90 times in the Old Testament. So what is Elohim? When Im is added to a Hebrew word, it makes the word plural. In the very first verse in the Bible, the Hebrew word for God is actually gods, or more than one person in the Godhead. To illustrate, in Genesis 1 and verse 26 we read, "And God," Elohim in Hebrew, which is used well over 2,000 times in the Jewish Bible, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." God in Hebrew in this verse is Elohim, plural. And God says, let us, plural. Us, more than one eternal being involved in the creation of man. The Hebrew word Elohim is used about 160 times in the Old Testament or Holy Scriptures when it is translated gods, plural, as in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 24, where we read, "And they transgressed against the God of their fathers and went a-whoring after the gods," plural, "of the people of the land, whom God destroyed before them." The Jewish people's God was the true and living God who manifested himself to them as God the Father, God the Messiah, and God the Holy Spirit, three persons in one, and thus Elohim, one yet plural. We worship one God. When the heathen gods, plural, are mentioned, the same Hebrew word Elohim is used for them and is translated gods with a small g. Elohim is used for gods where they worship many gods that they made of wood, stone, and other materials. The context determines whether the God of Israel, the Almighty true God, is being spoken of, or the gods of the heathen that amount to nothing. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, we again find the use of the word echad, where it is translated one and yet means more than one. Adam and Eve were created by God. Then we read in Genesis 2:24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one echad flesh." Adam and Eve were united in the act of marriage, which made them one, and yet they were still two people. The word echad, one, did not make them into one person. They were still two individuals. So God is one, and yet in the Godhead there is more than one divine person. This is explained to us in other Bible verses. There are many verses of Holy Scripture that give to us the plurality of Almighty God. One of the key verses in the Old Testament is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 48, and verse 16, and verse 17 also, where we read, "Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I." Who is speaking? Who was in the beginning and has spoken to mankind? A human being? No. Only an eternal one has been from the beginning, God. Men and women are born, live a number of years, and die. The one who is speaking in this verse is more than a human. He is one of the Godhead. Listen carefully as I continue to read this verse. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me. God and the Spirit of God send the speaker who is God. There are three eternal ones here in the Godhead. Where is the speaker sent? Other Bible verses clearly give the destination of this one sent from God. The prophecies in the Jewish Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, also give the purpose of this sent one's coming to earth. You will find the details of this in our CD on the two comings of the Messiah to earth. Read Isaiah chapter 53 in your Bible, and you will be amazed at what was written about 700 years B.C. This is in the Jewish Bible, though it is not listed in the Haftorah suggested readings. But the God of Israel wants you to read this chapter in the Word of God. Read Isaiah chapter 53 today. Again in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17, we read, Thus saith the Lord, Jehovah, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, Jehovah, thy God, Elohim, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. A member of the Godhead, whom we know from prophecy in all Scripture that this is the Messiah, who is also Jehovah, will be sent to earth by Jehovah God, and He will be our Redeemer, who will teach us the way that we should go. Just what this means is explained in other Bible verses that I will share with you in my CDs. Suffice to say here that the reason for the Messiah's coming to earth is to give us the way to have our sins forgiven and have a living relationship with God who loves us and has provided a wonderful future for us in this life and for eternity in heaven. I know this is true, for it has been my personal experience for over 60 years. I thank God every day for all He has done for me as a Jewish Bible believer and for my family today and for the tremendous future that is ahead for us. There are so many Bible verses to share with you regarding the Godhead. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4 gives to us further insight about God. We read these words given by God and recorded for us by King Solomon of Israel. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? Who has established the earth? There is no question but that is Jehovah Elohim, God Almighty. That is his name. And then the question is asked. What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Does God have a son? Yes. Listen to another verse of Scripture in the Jewish Scriptures, the Old Testament. Book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, written about 740 years B.C. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Now there it's L singular, because he is a member of the Godhead. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Son is sent to earth as a child, born, and he will be called the names of God. Part of this prophecy has been fulfilled in Messiah Jesus, but part is yet to be fulfilled when he returns a second time to earth to defeat the enemies of Israel and set up God's kingdom and government of peace on earth. This might not be too far off. Verse 7 reads, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord, Jehovah of hosts, shall perform this. What a day that will be. The Godhead is three: God the Father, God the Messiah or the Son, and God the Spirit. The Almighty Eternal Creator and Sustainer of the universe has seen fit to reveal himself to us, his creation, and to provide for us his way for us to be forgiven of our sins, that we might have a relationship with him that has no comparison. God sent the Messiah to earth, and as Messiah Jesus, he went to the cross to die, to provide the blood of atonement for us to be cleansed of all of our sins. God raised Jesus from the grave, as he foretold that he would, and Messiah Jesus is at the right hand of God in heaven today. I do not have time to give you the many prophecies to prove that Jesus is our Jewish Messiah and Redeemer, but I trust that those on this CD will help you to seek the God of Israel, that you might experience his great peace and joy that God has promised to those who trust him. In the Bible book of John, chapter 3 and verse 16, we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven." In Romans chapter 5 and verses 8, 9, and 11, we have God's promise. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us in our place to take the punishment due us for our sins. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath in hell through him. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Messiah, by whom we have now received the atonement." God be with you as you seek to know his great plan of forgiveness of sin and new life in Messiah Jesus for today and all eternity in heaven. Should you have any questions or desire CDs, cassette tapes, or literature for further study about God, the Messiah, and the way to have personal peace, email us at contact, that's contact, at GodandJews, that's one word, no spaces, .org. Contact at GodandJews.org.